A rumble of protest from the horde was silenced by a crack from Clooney's tail. He lifted his visor.
We agree, Mouse. Let us in.
But what about hostages for safe conduct?
Don't talk fool's talk. Do you imagine a load of mice in funny robes could take me captive?
Red Tooth gnawed anxiously on a split claw.
Maybe not, Chief. But have you cast a weather eye over that badger?
Clooney answered quietly out the side of his mouth.
Don't worry. I've been watching her. A real big country bumpkin. No. These are mice of honor. They'd sooner die than break the word to anyone. You leave this to me.
As Clooney and Red Tooth made for the gatehouse door, Constance shouted,
Put down your weapons, rats. Throw off your armor to show us that you come in peace.
Red Tooth spluttered angrily.
Hell's teeth! Who does that one think she's ordering her around?
Clooney shot him a warning glance.
Quiet. Do as she says.
Both rats took off their armor and placed it in a pile on the road. Matthias cried down to Clooney.
If you really are Clooney the Scourge, then we know of your tale. It is a weapon. Therefore, you will knot it tightly around your waist so that it can't be used.
Clooney laughed mirthlessly. He squinted at Matthias and cracked his tail dramatically.
Young Mouse, you do right to ask this thing, for truly you are looking at Clooney the Scourge.
Having said this, he took his tail in his claws and pulled the poison war spike from its tip. Tossing it on the armor pile, Clooney hitched his tail in a knot around his middle.
Now will you let us in, mice? You can see we are unarmed.
Ponderously, the heavy gate inched open. The two rats passed through a bristling forest of staves. The gate slammed shut behind them. Clooney mentally estimated the walls to be of immense thickness as he and Red Tooth, ducking their heads, emerged from the tunnel-like arch into the abbey grounds, where Constance and Matthias were waiting in the sunlight. The defenders followed the two rats closely, menacing them with staves. Matthias rapped out a curt command.
Leave us, mice. Go back to your duties on the wall.
Unhappy at leaving the abbot unguarded, the mice hesitated to obey the order to withdraw. Clooney addressed Matthias scornfully.
Here, mouse, watch me shift them.
Suddenly he wailed upon the apprehensive creatures. The single eye rolled madly in its socket as Clooney bared claws and fangs, snarling.
God, I've got a powerful hunger for mice. You'd best get a luff on those walls. Ha ha!
Clooney leaped in the air. The mice scattered in panic. Constance stopped the proceedings with a loud, angry bark.
Here now, enough of that rat. You are here to talk with the abbot. Get along with you.
Matthias was glad he was walking behind the rats. He blushed with shame. Clooney had sent the defenders scattering like butterflies in a whirlwind. Matthias was furious. The enemy now knew he was dealing with untrained and untested soldiers. As the party walked towards Cavern Hole, Clooney could sense hostility emanating from the young mouse, who flip-flopped behind him in overlarge sandals. Strange for one so young to be counted as a captain, he thought. Moreover, the little fellow didn't seem to fear him. Ah, but enough of that. Clooney would deal with him when the time came. Meanwhile, the big rat gazed about his surroundings in secret admiration. What an astounding place! He allowed himself a peek at the future. One day, this would be called Clooney's Castle. He liked the sound of that. Secure from attack, living off the fat of the land, in his mind's eye he saw it all. Those mice and the woodland creatures enslaved, living just to save him. He would hold sway as far as the eye could see. Power, an end to his rovings, a dream come true. King Clooney. Entering the abbey, the party stopped to make way for a pretty little field mouse bearing a tray.
Oh, Matthias, I've brought some refreshments for you and...
Thank you, Cornflower. Put them down on the table.
Red Tooth nudged Clooney.
Cornflower, eh? Satan's nose, she's a pretty little one for you.
Clooney remained silent. He stood insolently, watching Cornflower set the table in Cavern Hall. A pretty one indeed. The abbot indicated chairs. They all sat except Clooney, who lounged against the table, using the chair as a footstool. He glared at Red Tooth until he stood and waited alongside his chief. Idly, Clooney picked up a bowl of honeyed milk and sampled it. Slop! He spat it out on the floor. The abbot folded his paws into the wide sleeves of his habit and stared impassively at the warlord.
What do you want at Redwall Abbey, my son?
Clooney kicked the chair over and laughed madly. As the echoes died around the room, his face went grim.
Your son? Ha! That's a good one. I'll tell you what I want, Mouse. I want it all. The lot. Everything. Do you hear me?
Matthias' chair clattered on his side as he sprang forward, breaking free from the restraining paws of the abbot.
Listen, Rat, you don't scare me. I'll give you your answer. You get nothing. Now, do you understand that?
Shaking with fury, Matthias allowed himself to be pulled back onto the chair. The abbot turned to Clooney.
You must forgive Matthias. He is young and headstrong. Now, as to your proposal, I am afraid it is out of the question. Should you or your army require medical attention, food, clothing, or help upon your way, you will find us only too willing to assist. And
Clooney interrupted rudely by pounding upon the table until the abbot was silenced. He pointed a claw at Red Tooth.
Read them, the articles.
These are the articles of surrender to be obeyed by all creatures who come under the claw of Clooney the Scourge or any of his commanders. 1. Surrender will be total and unconditional. 2. Clooney will execute the leaders of all who choose to oppose him. 3. All property conquered will belong solely to Clooney the Scourge. This includes homes, food, crops, land, and additionally all creatures dwelling on said property. They shall be owned by Clooney.
Whack! Red Tooth got no further. Unable to contain himself, Matthias sent his staff ripping through the middle of the articles. As the torn document fluttered to the floor, Red Tooth launched himself at Matthias with a snarl. The rat was actually in mid-air when a huge blunt paw knocked him flat. He lay stunned, with Constance standing over him.
Why pick on a small mouse? Surely a big, strong rat like you can deal with an old badger. Come on, try me for size.
It was only the timely intervention of Abbot Mortimer that saved Red Toot's life.
Constance, would you please let the rat up? Much as I would like to see him get his just deserts, you must remember we cannot break the law of hospitality in our abbey.
Red Toot staggered shakily to his feet, backing wearily away from the badger. Clooney spoke as if nothing had occurred.
You, Abbot Mouse, you have until tomorrow evening to give me your answer.
Not normally given to anger, the abbot stared Clooney in the eye, his face a mask of cold fury.
I will not need until tomorrow, rat. You can have my answer now. How dare you come here with your robber band to read articles of death and slavery to me? I tell you that neither you nor your army will ever set paw or claw inside Red Wall. Not while I or any of my creatures have breath in our bodies to fight and resist you. That is my solemn word.
Clooney sneered and turned on his heel. Followed by Red Tooth, he stamped out. On the stairs between Cavern Hall and Great Hall, he stopped and turned, his cold voice echoing between both chambers.
Then die, all of you, every male, female, and young one. You have refused my terms. Now you will suffer the punishment of Clooney. You will beg on your knees for death to come swiftly. But I shall make your torment loud and long before you die.
It was then that Constance did something that creatures would speak of in years to come. Exerting the full strength of a female badger, she lifted the massive Cavern Hall dining table. It was a huge, solid oaken thing that no dozen mice could even move. Dishes clattered and food spilled as Constance heaved the table above her head. Her voice was a roar.
Get out, rats! Leave this abbey! I'm weary of your voices! Hurry before I break the laws of hospitality, and ask the abbot's pardon later. Go while you still have skulls.
With the best grace he could muster, Clooney walked rather quickly up the stairs, followed by Red Tooth, who laughed nervously.
Big country bumpkin, eh, Chief? One more word from you back there, and she'd have thrown that table and crushed us.
Remembering who it was that he had spoken to in this insolent fashion, Red Tooth cringed, expecting Clooney to deal him a blow for impudence. But nothing happened. Clooney was standing transfixed, oblivious to all about him, even Matthias and the abbot who had followed him out. Clooney stood staring at the tapestry.
Who is that mouse?
Matthias followed the direction of the rat's gaze. He walked to the tapestry with his paw outstretched.
Do you mean this mouse?
Clooney nodded dumbly. Matthias, still with his paw outstretched, declared proudly.
This is Martin the Warrior. He founded our order, and I'll tell you something else, Rat. Martin was the bravest mouse that ever lived. If he were here today, he'd just take up his big sword and send you and all your bullies packing, those of you he didn't chop up into crow meat.
Much to everyone's surprise, Clooney allowed himself to be shown out. He was like one in a daze, all the way back to the gatehouse. A hush fell over the mice on guard as Clooney and Red Tooth were let out onto the road. Swiftly the horde gathered around the warlord and his lieutenant. They awaited orders. Deputizing for Clooney, Red Tooth called out,
"Form up! Back to the church, everyone!"
Clooney marched automatically, shaking his head in disbelief. Martin the Warrior, the mouse who pursued him through his nightmares. What did it mean? As Red Tooth marched away, a voice hailed him from the wall. He turned and looked upwards. The torn articles, the parchment wrapped around a fistful of rotting vegetables, splattered in his face. Livid with rage, he clawed the foul mess from his eyes and saw Constance leaning over the parapet with a wicked grin of delight on her striped muzzle. The badger shouted mockingly,
"Don't forget to call again, Rat. I'd be delighted to see you. We've got some unfinished business that I'm looking forward to settling. Just you and me, Red Tooth."
Before the rat could reply, she had vanished from sight. Chapter 11. Later that evening, Brother Alf was patrolling his stretch of wall when he noticed a movement in the ferns at the edge of Mossflower Wood. Constance and Matthias were summoned hastily. They peered over the parapet. Brother Alf pointed to where he had seen the ferns moving.
"Over there, to the right of that aspen. Look, they're moving again."
Matthias had better nocturnal vision than either of his friends. He was the first to recognise the forlorn figure that rolled onto the grass.
"It's Ambrose Spike. He's hurt. Quick, let's get down there."
"Hold fast. It may be a trap."
Matthias was loath to hang about while a creature was lying injured within his sight, but he had to heed his friend's advice. There just might be some of Clooney's rats lying in ambush for any creature that ventured into the shadowy fringes of Mossflower. However, Matthias was growing impatient.
"We can't leave poor Ambrose lying out there, Constance. He'll die. We've got to do something."
The badger sat down with her snout between her paws.
"Yes, we've got to think. Anyone got an idea?"
The two mice joined her. Hardly had Matthias sat down when he leaped up again.
"I've got it! Stay here! I'll be back in a tick!"
Brother Alf watched the little figure flip-flopping off. He gave a sigh and shook his head.
"What do you suppose our Matthias is up to?"
The badger smiled affectionately. More and more she was coming to trust Matthias's natural skill as a leader and tactician.
"Don't fret, Brother Alf. Whatever it is, you can bet your habit it'll be an original Matthias gem. That young mouse has got more in his head than a pile of acorns."
Brother Alf looked out at the still form in the grass.
"It may be too late. Ambrose isn't even twitching. Look, he's not rolled up in a ball anymore."
Further speculation was curtailed by the appearance of Matthias. With him were half a dozen moles. Their leader glanced out at the hedgehog. He scratched some hasty calculations on the wall with his claw, then turned to Matthias.
"We think we can get yon hedge pig back, sir. You can get us out in the gate and stand watch."
Turning to his team, the foremole, for that was his official title, began discussing tunnel width, coupled with reverse prickle drag, forward traction, and all the other specialist details that are routine to the average qualified tunnel mole. Matthias whispered to Constance and Brother Alf.
"Foremole and his crew are first class at rescue work. They've often rescued burrowers from cave-ins. All we have to do is stand guard by the southeast wicket gate until they're safely back."
"Right, what are we waiting for? Let's go."
Silently, they slid outside the small green painted iron door, Matthias straining his eyes anxiously to see if there were any signs of life in the hedgehog. He still lay about 150 mouse paces from where they stood. The moles unravelled a rope sling. Four moles stood watching as two of his team started the dig. Matthias looked on in wonderment. One minute they were above ground. A moment later, there was a veritable shower of loam and topsoil as they vanished beneath the earth, nature's own technicians. In a trice they were back, moist snouts poking from the excavation. They made their ground report to Formo.
Ha! Him be nice and soft, sir. Bait no rock nor root to stop us, and straight for it, we're thinking.
Satisfied, Formo moved toward the test hole with the rest of his team. I'll dig ahead. You and Boyden working, Scaffer and Marge, follow up with Sean. He tugged his snout respectfully to Matthias and Constance. You and gentle beast, bide by ye till us back. Another quick shower of soft dark earth, and the moles were lost to view beneath the ground's surface. Constance sniffed the breeze as Matthias turned his ears to the night-time woodland sounds. They watched the ground humping into a continuous hillock that progressed farther as the moles tunnelled towards Ambrose Spike. The night remained calm and still, but Matthias and Constance stayed alert, both knowing if they failed to observe this rudimentary roar of nature, the penalty could be fatal. Matthias did a little shuffle of excitement.
Look, they've come up right under poor old Ambrose. My word, what splendid moles. Good heavens, he's vanished completely. They must have him inside the tunnel.
In a surprisingly short time, the tunnellers were back. Emerging from the hole, they carried the hedgehog in the rope sling across their backs. Refusing any help from the badger or the mouse, Formo merely tugged his snout.
Nay, nay, you'uns only get your paws dirted.
As swiftly as possible, Ambrose was hurried to the Abbey Infirmary in sick bay. He was attended by the abbot himself. A hasty diagnosis revealed that the hedgehog was suffering from a long, jagged wound that ran from the back of his ear to the tip of his paw. Brother Alf nodded sympathetically.
That's probably what caused old Ambrose to pass out. Pain and loss of blood. He must have travelled a fair way in that condition. Do you think he'll live, Father Abbot?
The abbot chuckled quietly. He cleaned the long, ugly wound and applied a poultice of herbs.
No cause for alarm, Brother Alf. Ambrose Spike is made of leather and needles. Tough as a boulder, this old ruffian is. Look, he's beginning to come round already.
Sure enough, after some peculiar grunts and much curling and uncurling, the hedgehog opened his eyes and looked about.
Oh, my aching ear, Father Abbot. You wouldn't see a poor son of the Spike suffering like this without a drop of last October's nut-brown ale to wet his parched gullet.
All the creatures laughed aloud with delight and relief at seeing their old friend alive and well once again. Matthias was astonished at the amount of nut-brown ale that Ambrose supped before he deemed himself fit enough to make a report. The hedgehog smacked his lips noisily.
Ah, that's better. Now, let me see. I did as you asked me. Gave as many creatures fair warning as I could. The Joseph Bell helped a great deal to warn everyone. Well, to cut a long story short, it must have been near noon when I stopped at Vole Bank. I told the Voles the bad news, and blow me if that little ninny Colin Vole didn't go shrieking and screaming all over the place as to how they'd all be murdered in their beds. Believe me, there was no way of silencing the daft young thing. Anyhow, his noise must have alerted a pack of those rats who were out foraging. Before you could say knife, they were upon us. There was such a gang of them that I couldn't do anything. I had to curl up. They carried off young Colin and his mum and dad, but try as they would, there was no laying claws on Ambrose Spike. No, sir. Then one of them had a go at me with the point of an iron churchyard railing. Stabbed away at me, the devil did. They reckoned I was dead. Said I was too spiky to eat. So they dragged the Vole family off and I lay still until the coast was clear. I made it as far as Mossflower and that's all I can remember. Is there any more left in that jug? This wound's giving me jip. I need ale for medicinal purposes, Father Abbot.
Matthias groaned and hung his head in despair. The Vole family taken captive. Death or slavery was all the wretched creatures could look forward to. Emboldened by the rescue of the hedgehog, Matthias was about to suggest that he and Constance, together with some hand-picked helpers, venture to undertake a rescue mission to St. Ninian's Church. It was as if the abbot and Constance both read his thoughts at the same time. Abbot Mortimer sighed and shook his head at Matthias. The badger was more voluble.
Matthias, forget it. abandon any hopes you have of snatching the Vole family from under Clooney's nose. Imagine it, a few of us going up against several hundred armed rats in their own camp. Ridiculous. A fat lot of good we'd be as defenders of Redwall, with our heads fixed to Clooney's standard. Matthias, you're a very brave young mouse, so please try to set an example to the rest by not becoming a foolish or a dead one.
On reflection, Matthias could see the wisdom of the Badger's counsel. Long after they had all retired for the night, he sat up thinking. 100 mad ideas pounded through his brain, each one wilder than the last. Feeling at a loss, he wandered up into Great Hall and stood in front of the tapestry. Without consciously realizing it, he found himself talking to Martin the Warrior.
Oh, Martin, what would you have done in my place? I know that I'm only a young mouse, a novice, not even a proper Redwall member yet. But once you were young too, I know what you would have done. You'd have buckled on your armour, picked up your mighty sword, gone down to that church and battled with the rats until they released the Voles or perished beneath your blade. But alas, those days are gone. I have no magic sword to aid me, only the advice of my elders and betters, to which I must listen.
Matthias sat down upon the cool stone floor. He gazed longingly up at Martin the Warrior. So proud, so brave, what a dashing figure he cut! Looking back down to himself in his baggy green robes and oversized sandals, Matthias felt hot tears of shame and frustration spilling from his eyes and dripping on his young whiskers. Unable to stop himself, he wept freely. The soft touch of a gentle paw on his back caused him to look around. It was Cornflower. Matthias wished he were dead. He quickly turned his face away, knowing she could see his tears.
Cornflower, please go away.
The little field mouse, however, would not go. She sat down on the floor next to Matthias. Taking the edge of her pinafore, she softly wiped away his tears. For such a shy little mouse, she had quite a bit to say.
Matthias, don't be ashamed. I know why you cry and grieve. It is because you are kind and good, not a hard-hearted, pitiless rat like Clooney. Please listen to me. Even the strongest and bravest must sometimes weep. It shows they have a great heart, one that can feel compassion for others. You are brave, Matthias. Already you have done great things for one so young. I am only a simple country-bred field mouse, but even I can see the courage and leadership in you. A burning brand shows the way, and each day your flame grows brighter. There is none like you, Matthias. You have the sign of greatness upon you. One day Redwall and all the land will be indebted to you. Matthias, you are a true warrior.
Matthias, with his eyes dry and his head held high, stood up. He felt himself stand taller than he ever had. He helped Cornflower to her feet and bowed to her.
Cornflower, how can I ever thank you for what you have said? You too are a very special mouse. It is late now. Go and get some rest. I think I will stay here a while longer.
The field mouse untied her headband. It was her favourite one, pale yellow, bordered with the cornflowers after which she was named. She tied it to Matthias's arm, the right one, just above the elbow, her maiden's colours for her champion warrior. Silently she crept off. Matthias could feel his heart beating against his chest. He spoke to the image of Martin.
Thank you, warrior. You spoke to me through Cornflower. You gave me the sign that I asked of you.
Chapter 12. At the Church of St. Ninian, Clooney sat in the wreckage of what had once been a pulpit. Red Tooth, Dark Claw, Cheese Thief and Fangburn lounged about at his feet on old burst hassocks. Clooney was in one of his strange moods again. He showed little interest in the captive Vole family, merely ordering that they be kept under guard until he found time to deal with them. Most of his army slept in the choir loft or the lady chapel. The rest were posted on sentry duty outside. Cautiously, his captains watched the warlord. Clooney's long tail swished restlessly. The single eye stared at a carved eagle holding the rotting lectern on its outspread wings. What thoughts occupied the dark, devious mind of Clooney the Scourge? Finally, he looked up and spoke.
Go and get Shadow. Bring him here to me.
Darkclaw and Fangbane scurried off to obey the command. Silently, the others waited, their eyes glinting in evil anticipation. Their chief had a plan. Like all of his schemes, it would be cunningly simple and wickedly brilliant. There was no better general than Clooney when it came to strategy. Shadow had been with Clooney for many years. Nobody was sure if he was a rat or a weasel, or even a bit of both. He was very lithe and wiry, and his long, sinewy body was covered in sleek black fur. There was no hint of another colour in his coat. It was blacker than moonless midnight. His eyes were strangely slanted, black, without any brightness in them. The eyes of Shadow were like those of a dead thing. He stood before Clooney, who had to strain his one eye against the darkness of the church to make sure he was really there.
Shadow, is that you?
The reply sounded like a whisper of wet silk across a smooth slate.
Clooney, I am here. Why do you want Shadow?
The captain shivered at the sound of the voice. Clooney leaned forward.
Did you see the walls of the abbey today?
I was there. Shadow sees all.
Tell me true. Could you climb them?
No beast I know of could climb those walls.
Except you.
Except me.
Clooney gestured with his tail.
Come closer, then. I will tell you what must be done.
Shadow sat on the top pulpit step. Clooney issued his orders.
You will climb the abbey wall. Many sentries patrol the top of the wall. Take the utmost care. If you get captured, you are of no use to me. There is no point in one alone trying to attack the gatehouse and open the door. It is too well guarded. So forget the gate.
Shadow gave no hint that Clooney had inadvertently read his mind. He remained motionless as Clooney continued.
Once you have scaled the wall, make for the main abbey door. Should it be locked for the night, you will use all your skill to open it without any noise. It is vital that you get inside. The first room you will find yourself in is the main one. The mice call it Great Hall. Walk in. Turn around, and on the left wall facing you is a long tapestry covered in pictures and designs. Now listen carefully. In the bottom right-hand corner of that tapestry is a picture of a mouse dressed in armor leaning on a big sword. I want it. Cut it, rip it, or tear it out, but get it for me. I must have it. Don't come back without it, Shadow.
Puzzlement was written on the faces of the four captains who had overheard the orders. A picture of a mouse? Clooney had never been known as a collector of pictures. Fangbane whispered to Cheese Thief.
What use is a picture of a mouse to the chief?
Clooney heard. He came to the edge of the pulpit, grasping the sides of the lectern. He surveyed his small congregation like some satanic minister.
Ah, Brother Fangbane, let me explain. I will tell you why it is that you and all your kind will forever remain servants, while I shall always be the master. Did you not see the faces of those mice today? The mere mention of Martin the Warrior sends them into ecstasies. Don't you see? He is their symbol. His name means the same to those mice as mine does to the horde. In a different way, maybe. Martin is some sort of angel. I am the opposite. Think for a moment. If anything were to happen to me, you'd all be a leaderless rabble. A headless mob. So, if the mice were to lose their most precious omen, the picture of Martin, where would that leave them?
Red Tooth slapped his haunch as he rocked to and fro, sniggering with uncontrolled glee.
Brilliant, Chief! Diabolical! They'd just be a crowd of terrified little mice without their wonderful Martin.
Clooney's tail banged down on the rotting lectern, smashing it into several fragments.
And that's when we'll strike.
The powerful tail lashed backwards, wrapping itself around Shadow's body. He was dragged forward face to face with his master. Clooney's rancid breath blasted into Shadow's face as he ground out each syllable.
Bring that picture back here to me. Do this, and your reward will be great when I sit on the abbot's chair in Redwall Abbey. But fail me, and your screams will be heard far beyond the woodlands and meadows.
Clooney the Scourge had spoken. Chapter 13. The sun's first rays flung wide the gates of dawn. The inhabitants of Redwall were already up and about. After breakfast, the abbot issued daily orders. All those not employed defending the abbey would husband the crops and gather in supplies for the larders in the event of a prolonged siege. Young otters collected watercress and fished. Cornflower headed a party of mice to reap the early cereal crops. More youngsters tended the salad gardens. The bright summer morning hummed to the bustle of industrious woodlanders. Ambrose Spike, now sufficiently recovered, sat in the storeroom taking stock. Lots of nuts and preserved berries from last autumn, apples and pears aplenty. Unfortunately, the hedgehog could not check the cellars. Brother Edmund and Friar Hugo had the only two keys. He licked his lips at the thought of barrels of nut-brown ale, strong cider, creamy stout, and the little kegs. Ah, the dear little kegs, full of elderberry wine, mulberry brandy, blackcurrant port, and wild grape sherry.
Your edge pig, where am I putting them roots and dandelions? Hasten up, they'm right heavy.
Ambrose sighed wistfully as he attended the two moles, staggering under a bundle of dandelions and tubers.
All them little taters steady, Bill. Yeah, tip 'em up, leggo.
More baby moles. Ambrose poured the bandage on his wound. A hedgehog's work was never done. Matthias and Constance stood in the cloisters. They had taken charge of weapon training. The woodlanders were each showing off their special skills. In more peaceful days, these skills had only been used at fairs and sporting contests. But now, when the need arose, they would be used with more deadly effect. The otters carried bags of smooth pebbles, which they hurled from vine slings with great force and accuracy. Groups of field mouse archers knocked thistle-down shafts to the strings of their longbows. Many a marauding bird had been driven off by these same tiny archers. Bands of Redwall mice practiced to thrust and parry with staves. Below the wall on the abbey grass, Formal directed his crew as they dug a trench. This was lined with sharpened stakes by a solitary beaver. A system of ropes and pulleys carried the baskets of stone and trench debris up to the ramparts. Defenders piled it in heaps at the edge of the parapet. Matthias took a group of Redwall mice to instruct in the use of the quarterstaff. He had discovered in himself a natural skill with the long ash pole. None of the mice had ever competed in any type of violent sport. They were awkward and timid. But, as it was a personal choice between learning cudgel and wrestling from Constance, or quarterstaff from Matthias, to a mouse, they opted for the latter. Matthias found he had to be quite severe with them. Accordingly, he dealt out some hefty blows and hard falls to make the more timid souls angry enough to retaliate.
Keep that head guard up, Brother Anthony.
Thwack.
I warned you, brother. Now look out. I'm coming after you again.
Thwack.
No, no. Don't just stand there, brother. Defend yourself. Hit out at me.
Thwack, crack. This time, Matthias sat down hard, rubbing dazedly at his sore head. Constance chuckled.
Well, Matthias, you've only yourself to blame. You asked Brother Anthony to hit out at you, and my word, he certainly obliged. I'll have to recruit him for my cudgel class. He shows promise.
Matthias stood up, smiling ruefully. He rested on his staff.
Yes, he's very strong. But I do wish that we had some real weapons of war. Swords and daggers and such like. We won't kill many rats with wooden staves.
Maybe not. But you must remember that we are here to defend, not to attack or kill.
Matthias threw down his staff. He took a dipper of water from an oaken pail, drinking deeply, then splashing the remains over his aching head.
A wise observation, Constance. But you try telling that to Clooney and his horde. See how far you get.
Lunch that day was served out in the orchard. Matthias lined up with the other woodland creatures to collect his food, a bowl of fresh milk, a hunk of wheaten loaf, and some goat's milk cheese. Cornflower was serving. She gave Matthias an extra large wedge of the cheese. He rolled up the sleeve of his habit and pulled out the corner of her scarf.
Look, Cornflower, a very close friend gave me this last night.
Get along and eat your lunch, Warrior Mouse, or I'll show you my deadly aim with a piece of this cheese.
Strolling through the dappled shade of the orchard, Matthias sought out old Methuselah. Slumping down beneath a damson tree, the young mouse munched away at his lunch. Methuselah was sitting with his back against the tree, his eyes closed in an apparent doze. Without opening them, he addressed Matthias.
How goes the practice war, young stave master?
Matthias watched some of the tiny ants carrying off his fallen breadcrumbs as he answered.
As well as possible, brother Methuselah. And how are your studies coming along?
Methuselah squinted over the top of his spectacles.
Knowledge is a thing that one cannot have enough of. It is the fruit of wisdom, to be eaten carefully and digested fully, unlike that lunch you are bolting down, little friend.
Matthias set his food to one side.
Tell me, what knowledge have you digested lately, old one?
Methuselah took a sip from Matthias's milk bowl.
Sometimes I think you have a very old head for such a young mouse. What more do you wish to know about Martin the Warrior?
Matthias looked surprised.
How did you know I was going to ask about Martin?
Methuselah wrinkled his nose.
How do the bee folk know there is pollen in a flower? Ask away, young one, before I doze off again.
Matthias hesitated a moment, then blurted out.
Brother Methuselah, tell me where Martin lies buried.